So today is the disappearance day of Sri Abhiram Gopal, one of the foremost associates of Lord Nityananda, also incarnation of Sridham from Krishna Leela. So today we'll speak a little bit about him, but we'll begin with the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, text number 19. Chapter is entitled The Cause of All Causes. Someone can shut the end lights off. Those two on the very corners are not needed. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kayam Karanam Kartribhe. Dvavya Jnana Kriha Sriyaha. Bannati Nityadhamuktam. Mahinam Purusham Gunaha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. These three modes of material nature, being further manifested as matter, knowledge, and activities, put the eternal transcendental living entity under the conditions of cause and effect, and make him responsible for such activities. Purport. We're getting a little technical, so you have to really listen up to try to understand the meanings of these purports. Because they are between the internal and external potencies, the transcendental living entities are called the marginal potency of the Lord. Factually, the living entities are not meant to be so conditioned by material energy, but due to their being affected by the false sense of lording it over material energy, they come under the influence of such potency, and thus become conditioned by the three modes of material nature. This external energy of the Lord covers up the pure knowledge of the living entities eternally existing within him. But the covering is so constant that it appears that the conditioned soul is eternally ignorant. Such is the wonderful actions of Maya, or external energy manifested as if materially produced. By the covering power of the material energy, the material scientist cannot look beyond the material causes. But factually, behind the material manifestations, there are Adibhuta, Adiatma, and Adidaiva actions, which the conditioned souls in the mode of ignorance cannot see. So here Prabhupada gets real technical now, describing what are these three. Now these three have different meanings in relationship to different aspects of the same, what we say, philosophical principle. The Adibhuta manifestation entails repetitions of birth and death with old age and disease. The Adiatma manifestation conditions the spirit soul, and the Adidaiva manifestation is the controlling system. These are the material manifestations of cause and effect, and the sense of responsibility of the conditioned actors. They are, after all, manifestations of the conditioned state, and the human being's freedom from such a conditioned state is the highest perfectional attainment. Om Agyan Timidam Dasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swayam Padantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunatananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada explained that one should know nescience along with knowledge. So, what is nescience? Sometimes the term nescience means ignorance. But what it really means is how the material energy is working. In other words, knowledge is knowledge of transcendence, or knowledge of Krishna. And our relationship with Krishna, that is called abhisambandha, coming in contact with Krishna, abhideya, executing the process of bhakti, and prayojana is attaining the goal of that execution, which is pure love of God. These make up what is called the aspects of transcendental subjects. But then again, there is the material energy and how it's working and how it entraps the living entities in different ways. So this is very, what we say, intricately explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam with very technical terminologies which get into the real intricacies of one's condition nature. And one should know these principles, because without knowing how material energy works, you don't know you're even trapped. You think you're okay. Everyone in the material world will think they're okay, but actually a person who is sane, or a person who is free from the material energy, can see that this person is just speaking, you know, like a madman. Because everyone is affected by the three modes of material nature, and how they're working is really a great science. Here it's explained what is the basic principle of conditioned life. If someone were to ask you, what is the foundation of material contamination in terms of desire, it's explained in different ways, the desire to be separate from Krishna, or the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. But what happens, what is the initial reaction to that, that one wants to control, and therefore one is put under the control, or thinking they're in control of the material energy. In other words, one comes in contact with the material energy and tries to lord it over, want to be the controller. And the principle of controller is that I control to enjoy. So the principle of control and enjoyment are very much intricately and very much connected. One cannot remove the idea of enjoyment from controlling and controlling from enjoyment. I want to control so I can enjoy. And this is the material disease. This is the disease. One wants to be the controller. And therefore one is placed under an energy that he's controlled by, thinking that he is controlling it. And this is the illusion. So the three modes of material nature, just like the word mode. If you translate the word mode, it means guna. Now the word guna also means rope. So the word mode means both guna and rope. And guna refers to, you know, the modes. But the word rope is also the meaning, which means that the gunas, they bind you. Just like ropes, they tie you up. So one is tied up either by ignorance or by passion or by goodness or by a combination of all three like that. But in any case, one is in the position of thinking that I am controlling, but is in the opposite position of actually being controlled by the thing that one wants to think they're controlling. This is the material world. No one's free. Everyone is forced to act according to one's, what we say, connection with the modes. Just like Arjuna, he asked Krishna, what forces a man to act sinfully, even against his will? Just like if you know something is wrong, but still you do it. What is that? Desire. The desire is there. So that desire forces you to act. Because desire is not something, what do we say, stagnant. It's actually dynamic. Desire forces one to speak. It forces one to act. It forces one to react. But what is the answer to Arjuna's question is that The adira, or the adi contamination, is lust. And Krishna says it's lust and lust only. It comes in contact with the material modes of nature and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful energy of this world. What is that? Rajavidya? No. Let's see. Is that, what is the verse? Sri Bhagavan Vaja. Kama Asia, Krodha Asia, Rajaguna, Samudbhava, Mahashapno Mahapapam, Vidheya Vihavarinam. Krishna explains in the third chapter, verse number 37. And he gives a very detailed explanation of how this, where is this lust, and how to remove it. He says, the sitting place of the lust is in the mind, in the senses, and in the intelligence. This is where the enemy exists. One may mistakenly think that the enemy is outside, or it's the situation around me that is the enemy. Actually, no. Krishna says that it's lust, which is seated in these three places, that forces one to act even sinfully, even though one may be aware of the fact that it's wrong. This is the pushings of the material energy. And Krishna finally explains that there's three coverings of this lust. Just like he says, there is smoke covers the fire. So when smoke covers the fire, you can still see the fire. The fire is still there, although the smoke is there. You can still see the fire. And then a little bit more, deeper, is when dust covers a mirror. So when the dust covers the mirror is still there, but the reflecting power is very much obscured by the dust. And then the last one is as the embryo covers the womb. So the womb is not at all visible when the embryo is covering it. So these are the three modes. That the coverings of lust, according to the various modes, are deeper and deeper. The mode of goodness is like the fire, and the mode of ignorance is like the embryo. So one in the mode of ignorance can't even understand the fact that they are a spirit energy, even by hearing about them. Prahlad Maharaj says, "There, are, what is that verse? Suttans. 7, Srimad Bhagavatam 9:7:30. Do you remember that, Karunyanidhi? Prahlad Maharaj explains that one cannot understand transcendental knowledge, even given by a great soul, or by coming from other sources, even by one's own endeavors. Svatar, what is it? With Matirna Krishna, Svaratapa, Padova, something Bibeti. Matirna Krishna, Svatapa, Padova. Who knows that verse? Sorry. Punas panas chavada charananam is the last line. That one cannot understand knowledge even when it's given to them directly, or it's given to either by their own endeavors, or by a combination of both. Why? Because they're so covered by the material energy that they cannot see beyond their own, you know, what we say, limited sense perception. They see only the external energy, and they see only the external energy in relationship on how to enjoy. And it's not wrong to want to enjoy, because the nature of the living being is ananda. This is the problem we have. We are, what we say, by nature, pleasure-seeking beings. But in contact with the material energy, we can't find that pleasure. It's not possible to find the fulfillment of that pleasure under the material energy. And therefore, the hard struggle for existence is to somehow or other find pleasure in a place where there's no pleasure. And as the struggle continues, the living entity goes deeper and deeper into this consciousness of ignorance, and gradually continues to suffer various forms of the material energy, not knowing how to get out. And what the living entity decides is to simply change their position in the material energy in order to relieve one's suffering and increase one's happiness. So tasyaiva hetu patite na kovito na labhyate ta bhavata upariyata ta labhyate tukana anya sukham kalena sarvatra gambira vamhasa. The last two lines of this verse says that one cannot, by their own endeavors, increase their happiness or decrease their suffering. It's not possible. One can simply only juggle the material energy in such a way that one simply becomes entangled in a different form. That's all. It's like one may be suffering due to cold weather. Cold weather is a form of suffering. In places where there is excessive cold, that means that people are generally sinful. Generally sinful. In places that are very excessively hot, also there is something, like in deserts. Places where people live in the deserts, and places where people live very cold. And it's like Eskimos. What do Eskimos do? They're very sexually inclined. They're always having sex. Because it's so cold, there's nothing else to do. And people live in the desert. What are they doing? They're just bandits, right? They're thieves, right? Usually. Says if you're born in the desert, that means you've taken birth as because of a brahmahatya in a previous life, killing of a brahmin. Take birth in the desert. So one's karma is forcibly pushed upon one due to their previous activities, and one simply learns to accept their material destinations or destiny, and thinking that it's not so bad. It's not so bad. The ignorant, foolish living entity suffering like continuously never thinks that I'm actually suffering. Or even if he does, he doesn't think it's so bad. And so therefore, this is Maya. Maya creates this illusion that you're okay. And when you try to juggle it in order to make it even better, you become more entangled in it. The material energy is like a very complex system of arrangements to simply trap the living entity in various forms of what we say suffering, enjoyment, or fruitive activities. So one cannot get out of that. And by no means. One has to be let out. One can only be let out by the spiritual master. The spiritual master comes as the representative of the Lord, and he frees them to conditioned soul from the entanglement of the material energy through the process of devotional service to the Lord. This is the only way out. And therefore, the process that is given to us is a process of mercy. It's a process of mercy. We're getting the Lord's mercy through His representative, the bona fide spiritual master, who teaches a way out of this continual suffering. And here, Prabhupada writes here, it says here, this external energy of the Lord covers up the pure knowledge of the living entities eternally existing within Him. So that external energy covers up our pure knowledge, but the covering is so constant that it appears that the conditioned soul is eternally ignorant. So sometimes we use the word nitya baddha. Nitya means eternal, and bada means condition. Is it possible that the living entity can be eternally conditioned? The term is referred to the conditioned soul, that one is eternally conditioned. Think about it. Can you be eternally conditioned? If you were, that means what is the question of your spiritual nature? How did you ever get a spiritual nation if you were eternally conditioned? What does the term nitya bada mean? Does anyone know? I'll ask you. Anyone know what nitya bada means? Eternally conditioned. It's there in the scriptures. Who knows? Yes. He's conditioned from time immemorial, and he cannot trace out his conditioning, so it seems to be eternal. He's conditioned from time immemorial. Therefore, the coverings of the material energy go so deep that the two natures that we have, one is called constitutional, which is our spiritual nature, and one is called conditional, which is our material nature, are reversed. Our constitutional nature is to love and serve Krishna eternally. Savai pum sam paro dharma yato bhakti ahoksaje ahoitukiya priyata yama supersedati. Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the highest welfare activity within human society is to render devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So this is the key. The devotional service can only be satisfying when the living entity constantly engages in devotional service. Must be unmotivated. It must be uninterrupted. So therefore, the conditioned soul cannot perceive its constitutional nature, and it identifies with its conditioned nature as being its real nature. Just like I think Hridayananda Maharaj was preaching somewhere in South America. This was a long time ago, many years ago. And he was telling, he met some very respectable aristocratic people who were quite wealthy. And he was preaching to one man and one lady. And he was telling them, you know, you have to understand you're a spirit soul. This is your identity, a spirit soul. And the lady was saying, yes, I know I'm a spirit soul, but I'm a female spirit soul. I'm a female spirit soul. Now, what does that mean? That means she's still identifying herself with the bodily conception of life. And forgetting what actually is the true nature of the living being. That it has nothing to do with male or female or any other designation. The soul is completely free from all aspects of something's funny. It's quite when you think about it, it's quite humorous, because nobody identifies like that. The soul is completely different. So this is the controlling power of the material energy. And one of the controlling powers of Maya is called forgetfulness. And forgetfulness is a symptom of ignorance. And ignorance is a symptom of no knowledge. And therefore, the living entity is constantly entangled in ignorance. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, one must read my books regularly. One must study my books regularly. If we want to get out of the material energy, it's not easy to get out of this material energy. In fact, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Even through the process of devotional service, one might misidentify devotional activities as being mundane or material. And one may do anything under the name of Krishna consciousness and think it is in line with my emancipation. So one has to very carefully execute the process according to the instructions of the spiritual master. If one neglects to follow the instructions of the spiritual master and acts independently or whimsically, that is a block in one's devotional service. Because the process works to awaken one's transcendental consciousness. And transcendental consciousness is a science that is given by, Srila Prabhupada, but is coming from Rupa Goswami and is coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the science is very carefully given through these books and through the lectures. Therefore, one must study this philosophy very carefully and understand how one is entangled and understand how one can get out of the entanglement. There are six ways that one can destroy one's devotional service, and there are six ways that one can, that are necessary to make devotional service, what we say, successful. What are the six ways that are necessary for what we say success in devotional service? What's the first one? Who knows? Utsahan. Utsahan means enthusiasm. Enthusiasm, Rupa Goswami says, means you have to use your intelligence to execute activities. He calls it endeavoring with intelligence. Not just doing things, but in doing the things according to the instructions of the spiritual master, according to the instructions of the Lord and the scriptures. One has to follow that very... And what is the next one? Who knows? Over in that corner. What's the second one? Nischaya. Nischaya means determination or conviction. One has to be determined. Material energy is very strong. And Maya is, Prabhupada said, there's three, what we say, obstacles that are built in one's existence, in one's, what we say, what is it? One's inability to practice the process. One is that we have material desires. Two is the material energy is always pushing us back towards the material energy. And three is that Krishna is beyond the reach of the senses. One cannot reach Krishna simply by sense perception. Atasi Krishna namari. Nabhavedrayam indriya seva mukhi jivado swayam eva sparatada. That only when the senses become purified through chanting of the holy names of the Lord can one understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ata si Krishna nama di nama nama. Through the name one becomes purified, and through the chanting of the holy name gradually the senses are revealed the presence of the Lord through the holy name, like that. So, and the third one is that, yeah, okay, we said all three actually. So these are the three defects, that we are conditioned, material energy is powerful, and Mother Krishna is beyond the reach of the senses. So how can you expect success with so many over? Therefore, one has to very carefully follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And one should be determined. Determinism. Determination is a feature of the living being. Prabhupada says, if you're not determined, you're no better than an animal. And what makes determination difficult? Material desires. Because we act on our material desires rather than acting on the determined platform. Because our material desires want fulfillment. Therefore, instead of acting on the instructions of the spiritual master, we act on our own, you know, material desires or material understandings. So one has to be determined to follow the instructions. And what's the third one? Utsaham nishtayam darya. Yeah, darya means patience. Prabhupada said, a woman has a nice husband, and she's thinking, now where's my baby? I have a nice husband, but where's the baby? Baby takes time to come out. One has to have patience. Baby doesn't come as soon as you have a husband. So in the same time, one has to understand that the perfection of devotional service, or even what we say, various stages of success, take a while to manifest. They don't come. What are the nine processes of devotional service? The nine processes are, not the nine processes, but the nine stages, I'm sorry. The nine stages are adaustrada, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartanivritti, nishta, ruchi, ashakti, bhava, and prema. So, what is the third stage? The third stage is bhajana kriya. That means initiation. That the third stage is initiation. Once you take initiation, then anartha nivritti. Then you can get rid of unwanted desires. So while we're practicing devotional service, if we're not initiated, still we have many unwanted things within our hearts. By the mercy of the spiritual master, after one takes the process of diksha, formal initiation, gradually these things go. Even before one takes initiation, these things are going gradually. But only when one can remain steady on the path of devotional service when one actually takes shelter and receives the process of diksha. Therefore, Prabhupada said one must get initiated. And what is that? Tad vigyatam gurum eva abhigachche. Abhigachche means must. that one must accept the instructions and the shelter of a spiritual master and work accordingly under his guidance in order to make the process effective. And then an artinivritti. An artinivritti means these things I don't want. What did I don't want? You know, things that block my relationship with Krishna. And gradually they go under the guarantee. Prabhupada says, I remove them. Krishna removes the things within our heart that we don't want. It's not that we can remove them by our own desires, our own activities. When the spiritual master is pleased, what is that verse? Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasado yasya prasadhan nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. And without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. So Prabhupada and one's spiritual master are very merciful. But therefore we have to follow the process very carefully. The mercy comes when one strictly adheres to the process of devotional service. One cannot change, or one cannot add, one cannot distract. Therefore one has to study the instructions of the spiritual master. I have some good news for you. In a few days, I'm not sure exactly what day, but Shyamasundara Prabhu will be coming and giving Bhagavatam class one morning. It may happen tomorrow. It may happen Saturday or Sunday. I spoke with him on the phone yesterday. He was supposed to come today and give class, but he just got back from a trip. But he said he'll come in a few days. So, and when Shyamasundara speaks, you can understand he's speaking practically like you're hearing from Prabhupada directly, because he was trained by Srila Prabhupada personally, and he knows Prabhupada very carefully, and he has done so much successful service on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. So when you have that kind of information coming from one who knows, then we can understand, yes, this is what Prabhupada expects. Therefore, every day, one must pray to the spiritual master. How can I serve you? How can I overcome these things that are blocking my spiritual life? One has to pray regularly. Not regularly, constantly, Prabhupada says. Otherwise, we can't execute this process. It's too difficult. Maya is too subtle. And Maya is so tricky that she makes you think that you're okay. As soon as you think you're okay, you should know that that thought is an indication you're not. Yeah, it's a fact. As soon as you think you're okay, you should know that you're not. We're not okay. I'm okay, you're okay, yatamat tatapat. You can do whatever you want, and I can do whatever I want, and we can all do whatever we want together, right? I go to Mangalarti, nah, maybe I will go, maybe I won't go. Maybe I'll do my service, maybe I won't, maybe I'll sleep, maybe I'll read, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll take prasadam, maybe I'll do this. This is all what is called manodharma. Manodharma means the dictations of whatever the mind and senses say. This is not devotional service. It is simply a feature of the material energy, dictating according to exactly what we want to hear, and we call it Krishna consciousness. So one has to be very, very strict in executing this process. Otherwise, it's not possible to make any advancement. Advancement becomes very slow, so slow. Okay, and the last three are, what is the fourth one? Six things that make successful devotional service? Huh? That's the last one. Huh? That's the one we said. That was confidence, determination is nishchaya. It's the same thing. Tat tat karma pavartanam is... What is tat tat karma pavartana? That's the last one, sadhuvritti. Tat tat karma pavartanam is the process. It's hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. one must have a regular dose of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So what do? When we go to Mangalarti, we hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Tulsi Puja, we hear and chant the glories. When we chant our rounds, we're chanting the glories of the Lord. When we're here in Bhagavatam, we're hearing and discussing the glories of the Lord. And all aspects, guru worship, every aspect of our morning program is simply centered around tat tat karma pravartanam, like that. So that's a necessary part of it. And one can do that also as much as possible throughout the day. If one can absorb himself in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, then one has actually developed, what we say, a strong foothold in Krishna consciousness. How do we get a taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord? Just like sometimes you say, well, I don't want to read. I don't want to chant. You know, I just don't, you know, I don't feel like it. How do you get a taste? How do you develop that taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord? What's the verse in Bhagavatam that explains that? Shushrusha Sharadanasya. Who knows the rest? I know you know it, Gorky Shore. Shushrusha Sharadanasya. You know that verse? No? Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. Shanviyat Seva Vipra. Purnya Tirtana Seva Nat. By rendering service to great souls, great service is done. And by such service, one gets an affinity to hearing the message of Krishna, or Vasudeva. So by rendering service to the pure devotees, one develops what is called attachment to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. And then the next one is avoiding the association of non-devotees. Lord Chaitanya, when he was asked by Sanatan Goswami, what is the first duty of a devotee? What is his first thing? And what did Lord Chaitanya say? Ah, very good. Atsat sangatayaga e vaishnava achar. That one should give up the association of materialistic people and associate with devotees. That's the first principle. If we still have affection for the association of non-devotees, then we still have to work on that, because that's important. Prabhupada explains, what is association? Association doesn't mean physical proximity. You may be in a connection with materialistic people, but doesn't mean you're associating with them. Prabhupada says, association means affection. You develop affection based on a relationship, then you're in trouble. So you can have what we say formal and what we say social relationships with non-devotees. Say you're a businessman. So you have business clients. So everything is business. And if you decide to get off the business, then you talk about something that is related to something spiritual. Well, you keep the business. That is not association. That is formality. And one is not associating. But as soon as you develop an affection for non-devotees and start speaking as friends, then what happens? They start speaking about getting intoxication, going to parties, seeing all kinds of nonsense movies, and speaking about the mundane world. And then you're in trouble. Then that association will trap you. Book distributors, when they're out there, they should always make sure that sometimes we use small talk to attract a people's mind so they become favorable to Krishna consciousness, so they take a book. And that's good, but one should not, when you're using the small talk, don't think that this is nice. You should see that it's a tool, and it's a way to pull people in. I remember there was one devotee, he was thinking, I want to preach to the drunkards. And Lord Chaitanya preached to the drunkards. I mean, Lord Nityananda, right? Jagai and Mother. So this devotee, he decided to go into the public bars and sit down with the drunkards and sell them books. But then in order to do that, he would order a drink. So, because you have to be in the social atmosphere, right? have to kind of like look like you're one of them. So he did that for a while, and then actually he became one of them. So that's not the idea. Too much close association with non-devotees and your spiritual life becomes very difficult. Practically, it becomes dead. And the last one is sadhuvritti. What is sadhuvritti? Huh? Sadhuvritti? No, sadhuvritti is the last one. Straightforward, that's something different. What is the word for straightforward? That is... This is sadhu vritti. Like so sage sadhu vritti, V-R-T-T-I. S-A-D-H-U. Sadhu vritti means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. What that means is that there are two aspects of sadhu vritti. One for householders, one for renunciates. So there's a set of rules and regulations and principles that householders must follow. And there's a set of rules and regulations and principles that, when we say the celibate ashram, must follow. And they're not the same. They're not the same. So one has to follow, what do you call it, in the previous footsteps of the previous acharyas according to their ashram, like that. Okay, these are the six things that are necessary for success in devotional service. So I'll stop here. Any questions? Okay, we can hear a little bit about Abhiram Gopal. There's not much. There's just one page. Today is his disappearance day. So I'll read. And I'll just read the pastimes so you can get it as it is. Lives of the Saints, Sri Abhiram Gopal. Sri Abhiram Gopal Thakur was also known as Sri Ramdas. He was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. On the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he became a great acharya and preacher of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. He was a very influential personality, and atheistic persons and blasphemies were very much afraid of him. Empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he was always in ecstasy and was kind to all fallen souls. It is said that if he offered obeisances to any stone other than the Shalagram Shila, it will immediately burst into pieces. Imagine the power of Abhiram Gopal. Simply by paying his obeisances to any stone other than the Shila, it would crack, break. According to Gauragonadesh Deepika, in Krishna Lila, he was Sridham, one of the 12 prominent cowherd boys of Sri Krishna. He was Nityananda's dearmost devotee. Abhiram Gopal's wife was named Sri Malani. Abhiram Gopal Thakur lived in Kanakula, Krishna Nagar. Kanakula, Krishna Nagar may be visited by taking the narrow gauge train from Horo Station in Calcutta to Amta. It is located in the present Huglia district of West Bengal. There, in Kanakula, Krishna Nagar, near the bank of the Kana River, is the temple of Abhiram Gopal. Because it is a town with a Krishna temple, the town is called Krishna Nagar. And because the temple is on the Kula, the banks of the Kana, it is called Kanakula Krishna Nagar. Just outside the temple is a Bakul tree. This place is known as Siddha Bakul Kunj. It is said that Abhiram Thakur used to like sitting beneath this tree. The story of how Gopinath Didi of Kanakula Krishnagar was established is as follows. One day, the Didi of Gopinath appeared to Abhiram Gopal in a dream and informed him that he wanted to manifest himself in Kanakula Krishnagar. It is said that he was buried in the earth, and that in the dream he ordered Abhiram Gopal to excavate him and inaugurate his worship. Abhiram Gopal went to the place where the Lord had indicated, and he began excavation. There, after digging for some time, he found the mind-enchanting deity of Sri Gopinath. The place where this discovery was made is now called Ramkund, and there is a small lake there. The Bhakti Ratnakar says, after having excavated the Gopinath Deity, all the devotees, headed by Ramdas, bathed in the sacred waters of the Kunda near the spot where the Deity had been found. From that day on, the Kunda became famous as Ram Kund. Whoever bathes there becomes free from repeated birth and death. One day, Sri Abhiram Gopal was overwhelmed with ecstasy of Sakya Ras and had a desire to play the flute of a cowherd boy. Listen to this pastime. This is amazing. Intoxicated by the bliss of Krishna Prema, he began searching the four directions to find a suitable flute. As he searched through the forest for a suitable instrument, all at once he saw before him a big log. The log was so huge that 16 men could not move it. Grabbing hold of the log, he turned it into a flute and began playing upon it. Powerful guy. He used to cause fear in the hearts of the atheists simply by seeing him. Haribol. The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Ram Das was one of the principal branches of Lord Nityananda and of the Chaitanya tree of Bhakti. He was full of Sakya Prem, love of Krishna, saturated with the mellow of friendship. He once picked up a log that 16 men couldn't lift and used it as a flute. Sri Abhiram Thakur had a bullwhip that was imbued with divine power. It was named Jai Mangala. Whoever was struck with this whip became filled with Krishna Prema. One day, Srinivasacharya went to take darshan of Abhiram Gopal. At that time, Abhiram Gopal touched him 3 times with the whip Jai Mangala. The Thakur's good wife, Malani, cried out, "My lord, don't touch him again. Calm yourself. Srinivas is only a boy. If you touch him again, he will lose consciousness." As a result of coming in contact with the whip of Abhiram Thakur, Srinivasacharya became filled with Sri Krishna Prema. That whip is still there in the temple. It's kept. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu to preach in Bengal, he sent Abhiram Gopal and Gadadhar Das along with him. Simply upon seeing Abhiram Gopal, atheists and blasphemers would flee in terror. He was a remarkable scholar, well-versed in all the scriptures. He married his wife, Malalini, upon the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. His disappearance day is the 7th day of the dark moon of the month of Chaitra, and on death day, a great festival attended by thousands of devotees is held every year in Kanakula, Krishna Nagar. So today is his disappearance day. He was a very, very exalted personality. He was Sridham, one of the most prominent of all cowherd boys in Krishna Lila. So he came again to, enact his pastimes in Chaitanya Lila. And there's many wonderful stories about how he stood for 9 hours in one position holding a flute without moving. If you travel around Europe, you find there's a lot of street shows. I mean, like, people are very festive in Europe. You find a lot of these fairs and, like, and you go to certain places in Europe, and in the middle of the town they have all these, like, musicians are playing music, and people are doing dances, and some people are singing. And you always see one guy or one girl doing some kind of pantomime act. And you'll find a guy, he'll just stand like, and you can't tell if he's real or not. He'll just stand there like that. Or he might be dressed up in a clown suit. And he'll go. And you see all this kind of stuff, you know. It's all over Europe. It's really nice to see. I mean, culture is still very much strong in Europe. In America, there's nothing much here. But, you know, Abhiram, he got his flute, and he stood like that without moving for 9 hours. Imagine standing 9 hours holding a flute. And that was that big log he was holding for 9 hours. So he did that. So these are maybe the extraordinary personalities who have come to assist Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in their wonderful pastimes. Okay. There's many more pastimes of Abhiram, but we'll stop here. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.